David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. I'm very excited because we have a very special guest on the show today. Before I begin, I'd just like to give a quick shout out to iHeartRadio and to Spreaker. They have sponsored this podcast, and they have been a big support of our podcast. So I just want to give a nice little shout out and say thank you for making this podcast possible. Now, today we have Rich Cruz. He is an author, and he recently launched his new book, Hermy, and it's an approachable way of looking at your internal culture. And he's going to go a little bit into that, and he's going to talk about that. And it's a really interesting book, and he has some great tips and advice for people also who are looking to write a book. He has succeeded in this area, and he's done very well for himself. And he's here today to show you how, and also to tell you about his book and how it's going to change many lives in a lot of positive ways. So I am so excited, Rich, to have you on the show today. As always, I just want to let people know that you are part of our podcast community. You have your own podcast on our channel. And anyone who wants to look at Rich's episodes, he has a lot of great episodes that you will find very beneficial in your own daily lives. And so, Rich, can you tell people who haven't heard about you a little about yourself and what you do?
Sure thing. Oh, thanks, Stacey. I really appreciate being on here. This is my third time. I'm so excited, and especially excited about the book. I'm an organizational development and organizational effectiveness consultant, and we started Harmonious Workplaces last year. So I'm working with Cheryl Volpe, who I went to school with at Purdue. We both studied industrial organizational psychology. And then Ben Kleinman, who we met through the Institute of Management Consultants, IMC USA. And he's a Northwestern graduate with an MBA, and he does change management. Mm-hmm. So Cheryl and I started a consulting practice together. And Ben and I started a podcast together. And we said, why are we doing two different things? Let's just collaborate and put it all together. So we put together the Harmonious Workplaces podcast, and we just did our 52nd episode. Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that was awesome. It was nice to get the Podbean 50 episode badge. Yeah. That and $2 will buy you a cup of coffee, but hey.
It's exciting. It's a huge accomplishment to get to 50 episodes. Most people, believe it or not, statistically, there's over 57 million people that listen to podcasts. And when it comes to people who have podcasts, 90% of them don't make it past podcast 8. And there's only 10% who actually make it past the 8th episode. So you've made it to 50. So that's a huge accomplishment. And that's you're on your way to big success, because not many people actually do that. There's only 10% of our society that get past number 8.
Woohoo. I'll relay that to the group. That's great. Cool. Well, then we're creating that content, and I've always wanted to be a cartoonist, and I'm like, I've always wanted to write a book, right? And I'm like, I started a book, I stopped it. I started another book, I stopped it. I was doing cartoons on the blog. So we have a blog at harmoniousworkplaces.com, and I did an illustration for every blog that I would post, right? And then we were talking, we were like, why don't we do a book together?
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, what does that look like? Okay, maybe we'll do that, And I said, what if we do a cartoon book together? Because Cheryl actually comes from the entertainment industry. She was the chief operating officer for Mystery Science Theater 3000, So that show, she was in it from like the eighth season to the last season, you know. And so they worked with puppets, they worked with cartoons, they published a comic book, you know. And everything kind of came together last year. I went to a comic con that we have here called C2E2, the Comic and Entertainment Chicago. I don't remember. It's C2E2 means something about comics and entertainment, right? So we went to this convention, and I met somebody there, and I saw all these people at Artist Alley, and I came back and told Ben and Cheryl. I said, "We should do a cartoon book." And they were like, "How do we do that?" And we've put together a plan, and this was the end product. So we got Hermie. The HR Hermit Crab. Yeah.
I love it. So unique. I love it.
Yeah.
Well,
And
go
I was
ahead.
just going to say Shermie, or oh, I got to stop saying Shermie. Shermie was his former name. Hermie. Hermie came about because he's a change expert, you know? That's what they do, right? They're collaborative. If you've ever seen these specials where hermit crabs will get into a line and they'll take their shell off and hand it to another hermit crab to be able to get into it as they get into their new home, you know. So we thought this was like a good way to go. How do we put them underwater? Do we put them in a pet shop? Do we put them in somebody's room? We don't really say specifically what organization they work for, but it's inferred that it's a pet shop. So he and his cast of characters have this book.
Oh, I love it. Now, how did you come up with the idea for your story and for your characters?
Yeah, great question. So we sat around quite a few times talking about how is this going to be an arc? Like, are we going to write a story, or are we going to run like a theme, right? And so we decided to do a theme. So there's not a story all the way through. It's 10 individual stories about different types of workplace situations. And so we have a funny, you know, like 6-page a cartoon strip, right? And at the end of each one of those, there's a lesson that we write from an IO, industrial organizational psychology perspective, a change management perspective, you know, something to that effect, right? And so it's built for business professionals, right? Human resources managers specifically, right? But we found that when we bring it to a workplace and we pass it around, it gets passed around to everybody, and they're like, "Oh, I want a copy. You know, this is so cool." You know. It's like, "Were you here at our meeting last week?" Because this is what happened, you know. So it's meant to be very relatable.
I love this. Now, when you were writing it, what was your favorite part of the writing process?
Oh yeah. So I could I'll share with you the process that we use. Yeah. That.
Please do.
Yeah. So. Because we now have, you know, all this technology around us, right? I mean, we used a very simple thing, which was Google Docs, right? We use Google Workspace for our company, for Harmonious Workplaces. And we set up a Google Doc, and we put in there different types of topics that we wanted to address, right? And we narrowed that down to these top 10 concerns. And I think what we actually used was a combination of the Gallup State of the Workforce survey that comes out once a year. And then there was another one that was like the top, I think it might have been a Forbes article, that was the top 10 concerns of business owners in 2024. So we put these things together, and we actually used some artificial intelligence and said, "Let's put this together to see what comes out," right? And we narrowed it down to 10, it was more like 15 topics, right? And we said, "Okay, who wants to take this topic? Who wants to take that topic?" And we assigned it. And then the idea was, you write your gag,
Right.
and you write your solution to the problem that was in that gig. And so I think if any one of us took just the whole project, it would have stalled. But
Yeah.
because we broke it down into chunks and we actually said, okay, we want to have this one by this date. So it was, we actually used kind of our own theory, our own motivational theories that we learned in school
Yeah.
of, setting SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-constrained goals, right? You're
Right.
going to get this gag done by this time, and it's going to have six panels, and then we're going to review, right? And so we did that. We developed this Google Doc, and we used that for editing.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And when everything was fine, I said, okay, now I'm going to start drawing, right? And so I illustrated every page on that in this book, and then I brought in my youngest kid, E, and my nephew, Gabe, and said, hey, I need some help. Can you're both artists. You both have iPads. Take my art. They finished it, right? So they did all of the digitizing and the ink and paint, right? And
Yeah.
then I had my youngest came up with, so I had a sketch of a Hermie, right? And it was rather rough, right? And E took it and refined it.
Oh,
And this
wow.
was my Father's Day gift in 2024. So it was from this in June of 2024, and we published in November. So it didn't take us a long time to put this thing together. It
Yeah.
was we were very motivated and very disciplined about, getting it done.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That is so amazing. Now, can you talk about the journey of your first book from the idea to the publication? Like, the process.
So the whole process of going from that, it was, we came up with the idea. We did all of this, putting all the plan together and then enacting the plan. Then, on the illustration side, I had my trusty sketchbook with me. Did all of those, scanned them in. Then I brought everything. I'm actually for years I was in marketing, right? So
Yeah.
graphic design. My undergrad was in visual art, and then
Right.
when I couldn't find a job as an artist, I went back to Columbia College and learned graphic design. So I did all the layout work on that, right?
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, so a lot of people, what you can do is outsource that to somebody and, Thumbtack or Fiverr or preferably somebody that you know, right? But you can,
Yeah.
so you're using, like, I do use Adobe InDesign. I brought everything into there. We did the final edits, then we used Amazon to, so Amazon KDP, which is our Kindle Direct Publishing. We used them to publish the book, and so we can get printed copies, and it's also in there.
Right.
In their rotation. So we're still looking at other channels of distribution, but that's our primary one right
Oh,
now.
I love it. Now, how do you make your characters retainable and engaging to your readers?
So we try to make, so because people have had pets, right? That's, I think that's where it really came from, right? Like, so our cast of characters, which is actually on this page here, right?
Okay.
So we've got Hermie, who's the HR person. He's the hermit crab, right?
Yeah.
Cheryl had hermit crabs when she was a kid. So, she's like, oh, this This is bringing back all these memories of me and my brother, right?
Yeah.
Then we have boss betta. So a betta is a Siamese fighting fish. And I used
Yeah.
to have these things, that you walk into a pet shop and they're in those little bowls, right? And they're just
Yeah.
angry little suckers all the time, right? You can't put two of them in the same tank, right? Because they just
Yeah.
they'll fight. I had a giant day gecko named Yoda. So that's a lizard, right? And so he would, he stuck to the wall. He was always hiding, right? And so we were like, okay, he's the IT guy. Like, you can never find him when you need him. And he's gonna, yeah, so, but he's a fly on the wall everywhere, right? So he knows
Right.
what's going on. So that's Gary Gecko. Cat Meow. So Cat is a cat. And Cat's the production manager. And Cat
Yeah.
is probably the most disengaged manager that you're going to find anywhere, and loves to take naps and is, perched on a file cabinet, right?
Right.
We have Hermione McCrab, who is another hermit crab, but Hermione is a lot more tight wound. She has a little bun. She's older. She has a little bun. That's her shell, right? And she is the DEI and culture manager. We have a project manager named Mooch, PM. And so PM is a Chihuahua. We had a Chihuahua and she ruled the roost here. So we were like, always excited, always jumping around, ready to do whatever you wanted her to do. And so we're like, okay, you know what?
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
You're now our project manager. We have Marshall Fetcher, who's a salesperson. So he's a Labrador Retriever. And then the last character, which is not one character, you just only see one or a couple of them here and there, are the hamsters or the gerbils. These nondescript little bean-shaped guys, they're the workers, the line workers, and nobody really knows what they do, and nobody really knows what they produce, but Kat's in charge of managing all of them.
Oh my gosh, this is great. Oh my God. I love how you put this together. Now,
Thanks.
what themes do you feel are important to include in the book and why?
So I think the main thing that we're always about is embracing change, because it's not going to go away. So why fight it, right? It's going to happen. Doing change in a how do I put this, in a very purposeful and meaningful way, right, is probably the most important thing that we want people to get out of this book, right? And I think that's why we like Hermie, because Hermie changes. In fact, the very first gag in the book, just to give it away, I'm not going to give the whole thing away, but you'll find out. But is him talking about changing his shell, right? It being able to let go of the past and embrace the new. And it's not easy, and people have a hard time, and he acknowledges that. In fact, he has a hard time with it himself. So that's a little of his struggle is right there in the beginning.
Oh, wow. Now, do you have a specific audience that you prefer to write for, or do you enjoy writing for all different age groups in your industry? Like, is there a specific area of one specific age group that you're focusing on, or you're really focusing on like the broad spectrum, like anyone that is in the HR area, or like what's your goal? Like, what audience and what type of person are you really focusing on?
It's a good question. I hadn't thought about like the generational aspect of this, which Maybe that's what we have to explore. We're working on book two, by the way, right now. So maybe that's something we need to explore, is what's the generational differences in some of the characters, you know? Because I think it's something that's relatable on, you know, so we've got the boomer generation that are getting ready
Yes.
to retire, right? We've got the Gen Xers, we've got the
Yeah.
millennials, and then we have Gen Z. We're
Yes.
not quite there with Gen Alpha, but they're gonna be here very, very soon, right? So,
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how relatable we are to Gen Alpha, but I know the other four generations, when they see the book and they read it, they're like, oh yeah, I get that.
Oh, that's good, because I noticed, like, even when I was talking to another HR expert, there's each generation has their own way of thinking. They're all productive, but their ways of thinking is very different. And
Very
then
different, yeah.
when we have the boomers are still caught up in the way we grew up, a lot of them have started to change, but then a lot of them, have not, but in order after COVID, it's necessary, because we've had so many changes, everything is done so differently. So
Sure.
it's like, the wordings that we use in the book sometimes could really approach different audiences and resonate with other audiences. So then you think about it, how do we incorporate all those different, genes and all those different people in one
Yeah,
book?
right. For sure. For sure. Well, I'm hoping that one of the things that we get across, because I like to talk about, there's these life cycle stages, right? In psychology, researcher Eric Erickson talks about these different life cycle stages. And when we're in our 20s to the 40s, we're in this, we're looking for, ice. Hold on. I just had intimacy versus isolation, right? So we're looking
Right.
for intimacy. In other words, we're looking for our tribe. We're looking for the people that
Yes.
we align with socially, right? And so during this time, it's important to have these social interactions, or we feel isolated, right? We're
Yes.
not part of something, right? So this whole sense of belonging that is in the workplace right now, is
Yeah.
a very real thing. And you know, the thing is, we have also some people who don't really understand that as much, because it was just like, well, we have a job, we have to go to work, and we have to just get the job done, right? So there's still this kind of generational disconnect there. But one of
Yeah.
the things that I think that I really like is in the 40s to the 60s or so, right? That whole area, we're in this life cycle stage of what's called generativity versus stagnation. So
Yes.
generativity is where we are wanting to pass down our knowledge, what we've learned, what we know, the skills, the, you know, what we call KSAOs, right? Knowledge, skills, and abilities, and other characteristics, down to the other generation, right? It's just this is we've heard about this throughout history, right? Is that you always have the wise people, right, who are passing their knowledge down, right? Their tacit knowledge, things that are not written down or anything, and then the implicit knowledge, which is what we actually know, right? So we're t
Right.
passing that down. When we don't do this, we feel stagnated, right? Like
Yes.
we're not growing, we're not helping others to grow. But when we can do this, we're able to help others to grow, and we feel ourselves being able to grow. I think the book really came out of that, because all three of us are, you know, Gen Xers. We're like right in the middle of that, you know, like, so I think our hope is that we're taking this and we're sharing it with the people that are our peers, but our seniors, right? But I think being able to show people, hey, look, yeah, you have this, but there's a way out, you know. There are things you can do to solve, you know, this issue that you're having with this IT person, or this, you know, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. Now, what challenges have you faced in your writing career, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I think one of the big challenges, I think, one is just kind of getting started was a huge stumbling block.
Yeah.
I started blogging not too long ago,
Right.
and I had to be very intentional about I'm going to write a blog once a week. That's, and when I didn't fall on that, it was a setback, but you rebound, you get back on track,
Yes.
I think that journaling actually helps because I try to write 10 things I thank God for every day and 10 things that I'm going to manifest in my life. That goes in this. I started that last year. Again, I did it before, but I think that's really helped because I would write down that I'm going to have this book written by October, right? And so
Right.
I had that written for several months that that's what we were going to do. So that's one thing. The other challenge right now, of course, is just getting in front of people and showing them the book and getting them to see this. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity to bring this to your audience because this is exactly shameless plug, but this is what we're this is how you get it done,
Oh yeah, 100%. Now, how do you balance entertainment and education in your books?
It is a well, we learn through fun, right? I mean,
Oh, for sure. I think that's the best way.
right? I mean, really, if it's never fun to just memorize,
Yes.
it's never fun to read, like, and I teach over at Trinity Christian College here, right? And so nobody wants to read the textbook, right? But when we can bring discussion into the classroom, when we can tell stories, like last was it? We're on spring break right now, but before we had where we were talking about entrepreneurship, and we were actually looking at three different types of companies that they came up with, and we made it fun, right? They're like building it, and they're like starting to get into it, and like, oh, I think I can make this happen. When you have that type of thing, they're learning, right? And I think this type of thing, it makes an impact to be able to stop, chuckle, hopefully, right? And
Yeah.
then be more accepting to the lesson that we're hopefully getting across.
I like that because when you just lecture, I think people start to doze off and they start to get into the head and they start to daydream because you just don't want to hear a person lecture. It needs to be entertaining in some phase or fashion. It has to be entertaining, whether you're drawing pictures on a whiteboard, whether you're telling jokes in between, whether you're telling a story, in between and relating it to what you're teaching. Something has to really spark people's attention, and if you're entertaining them and teaching them at the same time, I think it'll resonate better and I think they'll remember it better.
Absolutely. Last year, I started facilitating drum circles again, which is something I used to do years ago. I started to do that last year with the leadership group. And you would have people that were coming in going, oh, what is all this about? Oh, like what is this cool? Like, I remember the first one was, what is this kumbaya? I was like, what? But
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Three, like halfway in,
Yeah.
everything changes because they're having fun. They're like, oh yeah, and it's safe. Like that's the other thing. Like it's safe for you to do this, make some mistakes, learn. But it's like when you have a game, nothing, you're not going to have harm happen, right? It's like,
Yeah.
okay, this didn't work out, so we're going to go over here, right?
Right.
So it does help to bring some levity to it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. Now, can you share any tips for aspiring authors?
Yes. A couple of things. One is it is helpful for you to talk to other authors.
Yes.
Right? I think that that was remarkably helpful. Two, if you feel overwhelmed to do it yourself, find somebody else that is in your tribe or that you want to be in your tribe, right? And bring them in and say, hey, do you want to work on this together? Because I think that that's what got me going, right? I don't think I would have ever happened if it was just me. You got to put a team together, you know, and that, yeah, absolutely, right? And then, write down your goals. I think that's the other thing. You know, if you write down your goals, and I'm going to have so many pages done here, or I'm going to have so many, you know, in my case, it was, I'm going to have this panel of six drawings done by this time, right? When you can be your own client to some extent and keep yourself accountable, you know, that's a good thing. Does that help?
Oh my God, yeah. You know, like we were talking about this before the show. Like 30 years ago is like when I wrote my first book, and
Yeah.
it was like so much work, so much, you know, it's so draining. I don't think people realize all the work that gets put into it. But as I grew and I started to learn and I started to make contacts, because the more you're in the business, the more people you meet. You know, there are lots of people out there that I have met. You know, some were retired looking to make extra money. Some, you know, I had like a, like I was telling you, I had a cover illustrator that, you know, she was retired. She just wanted to make a few bucks and she loved what she did. So she was happy to make beautiful illustrations at low cost. And then I had met another person. She was a stay-home mom, but she was
That's
great at reformatting books. And so I would use her. And then we had another person that was an editor, and she just, you know, she was in college and she did it as a sidekick for extra money on the, you know. And then, you know, I had you know, other people doing other different aspects of it. And boy, oh boy, you know, it's like when you have other people, you know, working and they're specialized in that, you know, it takes all those hours and all that stress from you. You know, basically you put together the book, you write the book, you do everything, but then you give different parts to different people to even to tune it up, to make it better, to make it look spectacular and professional. And that takes so much stress, you know. And by talking to other authors, you know, you get this information because you could spend hours and hours trying to do something and it looks okay or it sounds okay. But then you give it to someone who has actual experience in that one area. And you know, you can find people that are willing to do it at a reasonable cost. You know, you don't have to, you know, thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars. And then you get yourself a really good looking professional book that sounds wonderful because you work with different people and you collaborated and everybody together put together this wonderful book.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, like, there's this whole thing about co-creation, like where we're all have some part of this, right? That we're creating something where everybody feels that like the motivation is there to get their part of it done, because everybody wants to see what this final product's going to be, right? And kudos to you for you. I mean, you had a vision for what you wanted this thing to be, and you kept your team motivated, and they see that vision, right? I mean, that is what business owners need to learn from authors like you, right? Is that you have this vision, and we need to keep people aligned to that. And this is the end goal, and here's where we're going to be, and we're creating this thing together. And your part in this is acknowledged, and it is needed, you know. So it's building, and every one of these little pieces of paper or digital, you know, whatever it's a little business in itself, you know.
Yes,
Yeah.
100%, 100%. Now, how do you collaborate with illustrators to bring your stories to life? Like you worked with, you know, you had some family members that helped you, and then you had experience in the field also. You know, was there a process of how you collaborated? Did you sit down and talk and share what your goals were? Did you know, how did you get everybody on the same page so everyone knew exactly, you know, what to do? Because that's very important. Sometimes
Yeah.
you have people who are working on a project, but they haven't really sat down and discussed it, and got people to understand what the objective is, what exactly your expectations are, what you're really looking for. And you really have to have everybody that's working on this book on the same page. When you were working with the illustrators and you were working with people, you had a vision, you had started it, you had started creating the illustrations. How did you work with these people so everybody that took a part in this book knew exactly what they needed to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I mentioned that that's one of the things I'm really proud of, how this came together on that front. Because so as I mentioned, I had my nephew Gabe and my little one E came in to do the line work and to do the filling in the it's in grayscale, so I'd like to say color, but it's like the pen and ink type of stuff that's in there, right? And but
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
There are decisions that need to be made, like what's the font we're going to use and what's the line thickness and the brush that we're all going to use, so it's consistent all the way across the book, right? No matter who's doing it. So we had to be very intentional about that. So we had several meetings about it. We did some different sketches and iterations and workshopping, what's this style going to look like. And then we would have huddles, pretty much weekly. We would have a huddle on where are we at? Do you need any help? What are your issues? Trying to just keep everybody motivated to when are you going to have your panel for this one done, right? And so we would have these meetings, and that kept everybody aligned, kept them motivated. They stayed in to the end. It got a little harder toward because I did kind of push the schedule, like we want to have this thing before the holidays, right? So we're like, what can we do to help get you from point A to point B? And I'm talking to my little one is in school. My nephew is working, so this is a side thing for them, right? So it's like, okay, well, how can we make this better, make this work for you? So luckily, I didn't have to bring in this case, I didn't have to bring in any like outside help. But that's something that could that you know we could think about, right? Is can we bring somebody in from the outside to help with this, right? Of course, you have to then go through the training and everything that we went through. Or can we train everybody up, or can we figure out what kind of schedule and how can we crash the schedule? So in truth, I ended up inking at least a couple myself, which was actually helpful because I would show them how I was doing it, right? And they would kind of be able to mimic that a little bit too. So yeah, it in the end it was keeping the communication up, listening to them, like what do they want to do? Because they were the ones who came up with what brush style we're going to use, what program we're going to use, how are we going to do this. And again, like he really came up with all the color. Like this is I had no idea what he was going to be colored, right? Until the blue tie against the orange and the
I love it. So, what do you have any favorite authors who inspired you to that, or like whose work that you admired that you were kind of like using as a template because you really liked their style? So you had to create your own style, your own unique style, but you use them kind of like as a template. Because a lot of times, I know too that there's certain authors that I really like. So I will read how they write, and I would understand, how they go about using their words and why they're so powerful, or their stories. Why do they grasp so many people's attention? And then I would say, okay, so I have a story. How could I use their writing style? Like, what are they doing? Are they using powerful words? Are they being descriptive? Are they being funny? You know, and then try to, you know, mimic it in a sense where it's my unique way of doing it, but I'm looking at the way they're doing it because they're getting so much traction.
First and foremost, Charles Schulz, right? Peanuts. That's, I have to say that, my dad had the anthology books, right? So I grew up reading those from when I was a little guy, and my Uncle Rich actually taught me how to draw when I was really, really young. And he taught me how to draw Charlie Brown, a circle, two half circles, and so he taught me that, and he taught me Snoopy, and that just got me like hooked, right? I was like, and then there's some other similar comics that were out there, BC, the caveman comics that were out there, Pogo, which was a what was he, a hedgehog? No, a possum. He was a possum, right? So those kinds of characters that had stories, right? Those really resonated with me. So my friend Lisa Appelinski, who's another consultant, she wrote a book on telling using stories to market. Right, to market your business, right? And so I was actually more on those on the way of persuasion, right? So persuade with a story. So she would talk about these different story arcs you could use. Like there's a hero arc, there's a quest arc, there's a horror arc, right? So there's all these different types. I think they outlined like seven. And she collaborated with somebody named Henry DeVries, who is a he helps business people to write books, right? So I attended a few of his workshops and seminars, right? So I think it was just a lot of information I was getting throughout the last couple of years, honestly, and then just it all came together, right? So I think those are some of my influences.
I like that. Now, what feedback do you have you received from readers that have been particularly meaningful to you?
We have had people, like I said, what was the most meaningful was that I was doing a consulting gig recently in a manufacturing space, and I gave the book to somebody. I just mentioned I was an author, and they're like, "Oh, let me see the book." And I showed it to them, right? And that book circulated all throughout the whole place, right? And like, well, I didn't know this. I showed up the next day, right? I opened up my laptop, and I have people coming to the door. Saw your book. Oh, it was so great. What, did you write this like while you were here? I'm like, no, I didn't. It has nothing to do with what's going on here. But thank you very much. It's when you get those types of reactions that. I it's like, okay, we're on to something here,
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Now, how do you ensure that your story is inclusive and it reflects a diverse experience? Like, what has been the most rewarding moment in your career as an author?
I mean, so we are always trying to figure out how can we leverage a more, diverse cast of characters, right? And so they have individual personalities, they're all different shapes and sizes and species and colors and all that stuff, right? And that's very intentional, right? We want this to be a representation of some of the values that we have, right? Where we think that having a diverse and inclusive organization helps you to make better decisions. It leads to a more cohesive workforce in the end, right? You're avoiding groupthink, right? Where everybody's thinking the same, right? So that is very intentional. And so like we are still coming up with, we don't want to add too many characters, but we're really trying to make sure that, you know, these characters here, people can align to, but they can also see that, yeah, they, you know, that represents, you know, some person that I know, you know, in different ways, right? So that's one thing that we're trying to do. And then I'm sorry, there was something else that you want to know on that.
I wanted to know that what was the most rewarding moment in your career?
Ah, most rewarding moment was actually publishing this. Yes, that was like when I got the like approval from Amazon that it's published, you know, I was like, yes. And this is the revised edition. I will mention this, that Hermie had a different name. Hermie was Shermie. And so Shermie, the book is still out there, and it's able, it is available, and it's the same book, by the way. Just, you know, the name is different. So he went through a change, right? He went through a change. We say the S is silent. And there were some just some trademark, you know, things that were there. But the thing is, when Hermie in this last iteration, right, hit the Amazon shelves, and we had all of our branding updated and everything, right? We even have a little swag shop where you can get mugs and t-shirts and stuff like that, you know.
I love
Yeah, you know, having that type of thing where the trademark, we did file for a trademark, we did file for copyright, so, you know, all of that IP, it just makes us feel like, this is this that that's a that's a nice
Reality.
reward.
Yeah, you did it. It's like that feeling of accomplishment. It's
That's right.
done. You did it, and it's a great feeling because after you do all that work to get it to that point where you've published it, it's been approved, and now you have the book. After all that work, it's now a finished product, and now people could actually go out there and read it. It's a great feeling. It's a
It
definitely
sure is. Yes. And
great
I know you know that. Yeah.
feeling. And how did you handle it, like writer's block or moments of like maybe low creativity? Were there moments where you just like, you kind of got stuck, that writer's block, like, oh, like what should I do next? And I'm not sure. And you kind of get stifled for a moment.
Yeah, and it wasn't just me. All three of us had those moments, you know. That I think is the other part where collaboration comes into play, because we can start talking about, okay, I'm stuck here. What can we do? And we could throw ideas out, and we'll write them down, and we'll use that Google Doc, because we've never met each other. I finally met Cheryl in person a couple of weeks ago. I went to Philly. She lives in Philadelphia. I still haven't met Ben Kleiman. Ben Kleiman, are you listening to this? We're both in Chicago. There's no excuse for that. But we would get together on a Zoom call, or even a phone call, and talk things out, right? And go, okay, what if we do this, and what if that, and eventually, you know, it's one of the nice parts about having the podcast is that we're very free in the podcast. There's not a whole lot of structure to what we do, as opposed to what you do here, which is much more professional. We start off fine, and then it just is very organic, right? And that's what the process was here, right? When we were able to get more organic and say, yeah, that works, but what if we try this, right? And nothing, it was we tried to be intentional about not saying no, that sucks, or whatever, because I've been, you know, I mean, that happens, right?
Oh
You know,
yeah,
that's
for
just like,
sure.
you know, I've had people say, no, that's an absolutely lousy idea, and that hurts you, you know. So
It
we actually
does. It
just did a
does.
webinar yesterday on psychological safety, which Cheryl wrote a white paper, and she was our facilitator for this discussion yesterday. But I think we really, not to toot our own horn, but we really walked the walk on that. because it was never a the it was always yes, but like, or yes, and like, we can do this or that or the other thing. And then it was together. What's the thing that makes us laugh?
Yeah.
Or what's the thing that makes that point work? So we've had to rework a couple of things, but yeah, we were stalled on like two of the panels, I remember, that were just like, oh, what are we gonna do with this? And when we got together and we just like joked about it, it came out.
I love it. Yeah, that's something that happens to everybody, or people start to move things around in their book because they thought that should be in the middle of the book, all of a sudden they move to the front or the end, and it keeps changing and changing to the very end.
Right. And actually, you bring up a good point there, Stacey, because one other tip I can give for creatives and authors and even business analysts, because when I was working with business analysts on this last project, right, who are creating process flow diagrams, that's what they were doing, right? But don't fall in love with your work,
Yeah.
right? And it's really hard for especially artists and writers to go, this is my, I did this, and this is my, get a critique, get somebody else to look at it, take the feedback, don't be afraid to go back and iterate, right? Because
Right.
it's, the first draft may be the perfect draft, maybe,
Yeah.
but if you could do something a little different, make it a little better, refine it a little more, that I think, that my art degree from the University of Chicago, I think really helps with that aspect of it, because it's receiving the critique, right? And when it's given in a way that's constructive, it can be
Yes.
a very powerful tool.
Yes. And that's the key. If it's given in a way where it's constructive, where if I always say, don't ask a family member, ask someone, outside your family.
That's right.
And, and even someone who has knowledge in the field, that will be able to be honest with you, because you do have those friends, or you do have those people who actually have knowledge in the field, that they will be honest with you. Those are the people that you really want to strive for. Sometimes I think sometimes asking our family members is a no-no, but maybe if you have an honest friend who will have some knowledge in the area, or just will give you an honest answer, you can maybe give it to them. But if you have somebody who is actually familiar in that industry, that or that gene that you're writing about, then give it to them if they're willing to look at it and get their honest answer, and say,
That's right.
please be, honest with me. Give me some constructive criticism, and then, if you're getting it from a professional standpoint, it's much different than, a family member just, shooting off their mouth and saying whatever,
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, and we did that before we went to publication. We had some select few people that were not our, how do I put this? Not necessarily like our best friends, right? That, but there were, we had really good relationships with, but were professionals, right? That either have written books before, or have they were consultants, or they worked in our space. And so we circulated the book, the manuscript, with before and after the illustrations, right? And said, what do you think of this? And it did help us to make it a much stronger piece. So we'll definitely be doing that, in future iterations.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Now, what are your thoughts on the role of books in fostering a love of reading? So many people sometimes they, a lot of people go into audio, and they don't go into, they're avoiding reading. But, sometimes you can get a really good book. And what's nice about books is that when you're reading a book, your imagination kind of goes with the book. And sometimes you can even put yourself in that book scenario and be part of the book. Like, you feel like you're part of the story. So, like, what are your thoughts about, like, in the role of fostering a love of reading in somebody? Like, not don't go to audio. Really take a look of the book in print, and let your imagination go wild as you read it and really put yourself in the story and get a different effect. Because I've seen many, people do the audio and it's great, but when you read the book, it's so much different. And then if you ever see a movie, the movie always is,
Always this. All of you who have watched the movie and done your book report on the movie, you know it doesn't work.
For sure.
Guilty, but so yeah. And when Jack Nicholas, came with the axe through the wall, you didn't read The Shining.
No.
No, but well, and actually, that I gotta say, when I was in high school, our English teacher, Dr. Racky, God bless his soul, he was he would have us read these really challenging books, right? And they were some of them were an easier read than others, right? But they were always very challenging, the concepts and everything that we had, and I do think that, reading and glomming onto that is very important. And one of the things that I did with my kids was when they were growing up, I used to read to them. So there's that audio, right?
Right.
But that did get them into reading. So they all are, fairly regularly in books, and reading independently,
Yeah.
which is great, right? But I will say, Stacey, that just a little plug for the audio, though. Just if you hear me out, I graduated from Purdue in 2023, right? And I struggled with reading the textbooks only, right?
Right.
When I had the textbook and I'm reading the text, so I always was reading, right? But the textbook or the oh man, some of the research studies on psychology, right, where they're literally talking about statistics and
Yes.
all of that, right? But when I had the visuals of like the tables and the charts and graphs and all that stuff, right, the descriptive
Yes.
statistics, right, and I had the audio readers that I could listen to while I'm reading,
Yes.
something changed in my brain where it was like, I can like retain this much better for me,
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, where was this when I was in undergrad or whatever,
Right.
because that was just powerful stuff. So, and to that effect, like sometimes I will take a Hermy cartoon and do like a voiceover
I
of
like that.
the cartoons, because it's fun.
It's
And
fun.
yeah, and you'll find somewhere out there there's a couple of there'll be more, but where this little guy is an animated puppet
Yeah, I
that
would
I
say that.
voice, and he moves his claws and stuff like that, there'll be more of those. Watch out.
Oh no, I believe it. I could see it. That would be a fun watch if you had a series of and you had consistent cartoons going on and you had the voiceover. I love, I think even when you're grown up, you still love to watch cartoons. It's
Sure,
just,
you do.
I still remember the cartoons from way back when, and it's just they stick with your favorite cartoons.
Right. I mean, if you look at Netflix, Amazon, all of these streaming services that are out there, right? Even when you look at like Audible and those types of things, right? You're finding that there are these cartoons, right? And they're not for kids. Some
Right.
of them are really not for
Adults.
kids,
No,
right?
they're adults. Yeah.
But we've grown up with those as a storytelling device, right?
Yeah.
And we're like in it, right? Like we're in those stories. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm glad to be finally part of that. It's a little another thing that I like to celebrate is that I put like a bucket list item. I am now a trade member of the Natural Cartoonist Society.
Oh,
So
congratulations.
that, so that's like,
Yeah.
it's really,
Woo.
really, really, really cool, you know.
That is
But
very cool.
it's just all these really remarkable storytellers who can tell stories with the visual and the written word, right? And you pull them
Yes.
together, you know, it's just, yeah, remarkable.
I love it. Now, do you have any upcoming projects or books that you're excited to share?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, a couple of things is you can, you will find that we're publishing Hermie the HR Hermit Crab comics on our website. I'm trying to do at least a couple of those a month. You'll find those. We are working on the second book currently, right? We are like just starting it, but the collaboration's already begun. And you know, the Harmonious Workplaces podcast is always we're always looking to for new ideas and new people to talk to, and you know, so that's another thing. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, where can people find your book right now?
Yes, thank you. They can go to HR HermitCrab.com. I think there's another couple of versions of the HR the hermitcrab.com and H Hermie HRcrab.com. Anyway, there's all those, right? But if you're like, oh, I can't find this, harmoniousworkplaces.com, you'll find Hermie there, right? So that's where you'll find him. And then you'll find him on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon, you put in Hermie, you'll find him on Google. Like, thank you, search engine optimization. But yeah, so yeah, and you know, on their website, on our website, you'll also find you'll find the podcast, which you'll find a bunch of blogs. We have a culture a scorecard that you can do, a psychological safety white paper. We actually have a replay. If you go to harmoniousworkplaces.com/flourish, you'll find a replay of our webinar that we did yesterday. So yeah, all kinds of goodies. We want to make harmonious workplaces, right? And some of
Yes.
it's through fun, and some of it's through really, you know, tough stuff, tough work, you know.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Now, from everything that we've talked about today, are there a few things you'd like to emphasize to the readers that you feel are important?
Set goals. If you want to write a book, you're not going to write a book unless you set a goal. So set that goal, right? Write it down. Write the goal down. Not type it, write it down, right? There's that tactile thing that happens, you know. Collaborate. Find somebody else to work with and collaborate with them. Be the crab. That should be our new hashtag. But you know, you find somebody to collaborate with. And then, you know, the thing that we're always saying on our podcasts, and it's what Hermie is all about, is make change your friend, right?
Yes.
Change is it's gonna happen. Embrace it. We know that it can be tiresome, you know,
Yes.
but when you have the mindset of growth and you know, yeah, that growth mindset of something better is going to happen. We live in a life of abundance, so that change is going to bring about something. It always has a seed of
Yes.
an element of success. So make change your friend.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Rich. Thank you
Yeah,
so much for
thanks,
coming on
Stacy.
the show. I really enjoyed this and I thank you so much. And I look forward to your next book and I can't wait to see you soon.
Awesome. Thanks a million. Yeah, I can't wait to be back.
Yes, me too. I'll talk to you soon and you have a great day.
You too. Thanks a lot. Take care.
You too.